We're going to talk baseball this hour on Sports Byline, and I can't think of anybody better to talk baseball with than a guy that I got a chance to see here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I was on television as well as radio, and a man that went on to have a 17-year career in the majors, 9 of those with the Oakland A's, who he came up with, 6 with San Francisco, and the final 2 with Kansas City. I'm referring to Vida Blue, who has written a wonderful book called Vida Blue, A Life. What motivated you to write this book?
I met with this young man. He's not a young man, but I'm going to call him a young man. And we had lunch a couple of times, and he said, "Hey, you mind if I tape this stuff?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead. I don't have nothing to hide." And we just talked baseball and talked about my life. And he put some stuff together, found a publisher, and the rest is history. But it's just a few little tidbits about my life as a player and as a person, Ron, you know.
How would you describe your life?
I can't do it in one word, but, you know, the ups and downs of life and the peaks and valleys of life. And sometimes that's a good mix because it helps build a character in you as a person. You know, if you can take the good, you have to learn to take the bad. And I've had the good, you know, the MVPs and all, and I have the bad. And as I say, you know, I made bad choices, but it doesn't necessarily make me a bad person, you know.
What would your life been like if you hadn't had baseball?
Come on, man. You know, I grew up in Mansfield, Louisiana. And unfortunately, home is home, but Ron, they're about 10 years behind time down there, you know. And I don't know. I'm sure I would have been something else would have motivated me to become something as a productive person, whether it be a fireman, a lawyer. I don't know what I would have done. But luckily for me, I don't have to ponder that because I put all my eggs in one basket, and I made it as a baseball player. And the opportunity presented itself, and I was lucky enough to take advantage of it.
You write in the book, "In many ways, I've had a difficult life, but in other ways, I've had a marvelous life with all the struggles, all the pain, mostly self-induced, and all the glory that God saw fit to bring me along with the many times that I fell on my face. I wouldn't have had it any other way."
Because I got back up. Because when I go to the schools and do my volunteer stuff, and I go and talk to the schools in a school assembly, see, I'm not making that stuff up. I can tell them that I experienced that stuff, that I used bad judgment, and that luckily for me, I'm here standing before you to talk about this. And just think of how many of your classmates or teammates or people in your community, in your neighborhood, who never got that second chance. So that's the beauty of that, that I went through that stuff, used bad judgment, but somehow, some way, as I said, God saw fit for me to come through this stuff and use me as a messenger to go and talk about that stuff. But I think it makes it hits home when you can tell kids, "Oh, I did that before, you know. Well, come on, who does that anymore? You guys still doing that? You know, I was your age at one time." And I stress to them, and I think a lot of times when you hear this stuff coming from someone other than your parents or your Uncle Joe, it might make sense. And even as I tell my kids, listen, when you're 16, enjoy being 16. Don't be 19 when you're 16. You'd have to fast forward your life. The world is moving fast enough, man. So enjoy being 16 when you're 16.
In high school, in their senior year, you're a pretty good football player. You threw for 3,400 yards, completed 35 touchdown passes, rushed for 1,600 yards. Also pretty good baseball player, which I'll get to in just a second. How close did you come to making the decision to go football?
Well, this little high school I went to in Louisiana, Ron, half of the faculty was from Southern University, the other predominantly black school in Louisiana, and the other half of the faculty was from Grambling University, Eddie Robinson. And I couldn't make up my mind. It was the biggest decision in my life, you know, number one, to go to college, go to the next level. And number two, I was going to be the original Deion Sanders, because the president of Grambling was President Jones. He was the baseball coach. And I would have gone there had they let me play baseball and football, but they didn't want me to do that. I had to pick one or the other. And in my opinion, Ron, I think I was a pretty decent football player because they grow big in my hometown, man. Our offensive line probably averaged about 250, you know, and that's big for high school. But that's normal in Louisiana and Texas and Florida. Down south, they grow the kids real big. But, you know, my father passed away my senior year in high school. And it gave me a chance to go to my mother and say, "Listen, if I get drafted, go play baseball, do I have to go to college? Mom, I'm tired of school." But listen, my mom was doing what mothers do and what parents do. She wanted me to go to school to get a degree and you know, would have enhanced my chance to have a better life as an educated person. And I I feel totally indebted to her because of that. But I, my counter was like, listen, if I go start playing baseball, there'll be another source of income. Because my father worked in a steel mill, man. He worked in a steel mill for 20-some years. And, you know, he'd come home and blow his nose. It was like tar black. They didn't have all the health regulations and ventilation stuff going on in the steel mill. But some kind of way, he worked Monday through Friday. He played kind of hard on weekends, but he provided for his six kids and his wife. But, yes, I talked my mom into letting me come out and try this baseball thing, and I got drafted by the A's, and here I am.
In your senior year, you also threw a new no-hitter in high school, and in the seven-inning game, you struck out 21 people.
Now, come on, man. The lights were bad.
Was it not only a no-hitter but a perfect game as well?
No, I think I walked a couple of guys. I threw hard, but I didn't know where the hell it was going sometimes, man. Yeah, and run sometime. I'm going to have to go back through my bio and really look at some of this stuff and go back to my high school and check some of this stuff, too, because, you know, they have a lot of folklore in Louisiana. They have me walking on water in Louisiana right now, man. And listen, I'm 219. I know I can't walk on water, okay? But it sounds good, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do recall a game where I did strike out all the hitters. And no, but it wasn't 21 up, 21 down. There were a couple of walks in between there.
Knowing you as I do and as long as I have and your personality, I'm just wondering how suffocating was it for a young man, a young black man down in Louisiana?
Sure.
And the racism, what was the first time you ever ran into that?
Probably the day I was born. But here's what I do recall as a youngster, as a teenager. You know, your curiosity arises. And hey, Mom, Dad, why can't we go use the city pool? This town, Mansfield, Louisiana, the city pool was off limits to my people. I'm like, but, you know, I'm like, Mom, you pay city taxes. You pay county tax. You pay state tax. You pay federal tax. What's up with this? My grandmother says, listen, son, you don't want to be nowhere where you're not wanted. And that ended that right there. That's why I don't swim today. Who knows? I might have gone down there and taken a swimming lesson. Could have been a black Mark Spitz. I don't know. But and Ron, this is a sad commentary to my hometown. Even today, the parts of the town are segregated. And case in point, the cemeteries are still segregated. You're dead, man. Who cares? You're dead. But yeah, it was an eye opener for me, and you know, imagine what it was like for me to leave home as a youngster, having signed my pro contract. I went to Burlington, Iowa, you know, the Bible Belt of the country, which was it was easy going back there, and I feel lucky that I went there to get broken in about you know the Italian guys on my team that I was going to play with a guy named Vic Scimarelli, and I played with a Polish guy. I had his name and I lost it. I played with some brothers from L.A. I played with a guy named Gilberto Marcano from Venezuela, you know. I played with a guy named Stan Jones, a journeyman pitcher who hurt his arm but was, you know, stuck on. And he was like a big brother to us, to the Afro-American players, and showed us the ropes. He toiled around in A-ball in the Midwest League for about 10 or 12 years. He knew he wasn't going to go to the next level with the Oakland A's. But, yeah, all that stuff is part of the history of Vita Blue's life and some good stuff there along the way. And that stuff, it's etched in my brain. And the next time I do put some stuff in print, I'm going to go dig a little deeper into my past and just put it all out there.
Was that the first time you'd been out of the state?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, probably had gone, well, Mansfield, Louisiana, to the north it borders Arkansas, and to the west it borders Texas, probably about 30 minutes. I can drive and be in Texas. But leaving town for the first time, leaving home for the first time to go do something other than play ball. Yep.
I remember talking to Juan Marichal and Orlando Cepeda and some of the others. They talk about what it was like to leave the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or Venezuela, those type of players, and coming to the United States, didn't speak any English, culturally.
I was going to say that. They had the language barrier. And let Orlando Cepeda go to Mississippi. He's considered black in Mississippi and parts of Louisiana, too. And that's just the way it is. I'm not trying to belittle Louisiana, the state, or Mississippi, but back in the day, I don't care if you spoke Spanish, you were Afro-American person, you know? They mixed you in with the Afro-Americans, but again, that's a sad commentary to our lives, but look at us now, Ron. It's the year 2012, and 2011, we've made a lot of progress. We have a president that's of color, which means a lot to me, and You know, I still get to see Willie Mays on a daily basis, and Willie McCovey, and some of my favorite guys that of all time that I get to have interactions with.
We got about 30 seconds before we have to break, but what advice did your mother give you as you were leaving home?
Make sure you had clean underwear in case you were in a car accident. But, you know, just go and be yourself, and obviously you're representing the family, and just do the best you can and always believe in yourself.
We've got Vida Blue in the studio with us. Vida has written a book that I hope you'll check out because it's an interesting read, not only about his dominating baseball career, but also about his very interesting life growing up in Louisiana. We'll talk about how he broke into the major leagues. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.